Okay, welcome to the first episode of The Crime Light. I am your host, Ashton Fowler.
And I'm your co-host, Brooke Finch.
And this is the third time we've tried to record this.
Literally.
The third time. So I just want to say thank you for listening. Those of you who are supporting, thank you so much. Yeah, just a little bit about what we're going to be doing. It's obviously called The Crime Light, a little play on words from the limelight, you know, crime light. Obviously, we're going to be talking about crime, cases, murders, conspiracies, serial killers, you name it. I figured, you know, I have plenty of time to do this, so why not?
It's 2020, in case you're listening, whenever.
It is so March corona. 2020, so corona. That is what we're currently going through right now. So, you know, again, we've got plenty of time. And, I figured I can talk for, Brooke can attest to this, I can talk for hours about crime and cases. There are many that I know front to back that I could just go on about for hours on end. And so I figured what better way to do that than to put it on a platform where I can talk about it for other people to listen to as well.
Put it to use,
exactly. So that it's not just useless information inside my head. So the first case that we're going to talk about, the first ever Crime Light case we're going to talk about is, Gypsy Rose Blanchard. I figured the first one that we do could be a well-known one, but also not well-known. You know, it's a TV show at this point, but also not a lot of people know about it. And like I said, I've tried recording this three times, so Brooke knows a little bit about it, but she doesn't know the full thing.
Yeah, at first I didn't know anything. I was just gonna put my input and my two cents and psychology analysis, but,
because she's a psychology major or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
So, college. So yeah, this is, one that Brooke doesn't know a whole lot about, so I get to, kind of just sit down and do kind of a story time, which is super fun. So why don't we just go ahead and get started? So this is Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and I'm titling this Mother Doesn't Always Know Best.
Oh, that was good.
Okay, so a little bit of background. Gypsy was born on July 27th, 1991 to Claudine and Rod Blanchard in Golden Meadow, Louisiana.
Claudine's nickname is Dee Dee.
Yes, we're going to call her Dee Dee for the rest of the episode because that's what she went by. So Rod and Dee Dee got married when Dee Dee was pregnant with, Gypsy, because in the South, that's the respectable thing to do.
Morally correct. So, yeah. Well, not politically, like socially legally acceptable. Yeah. Shut up.
Leave that up to your interpretation, you know, whatever you feel like, but to them, that was the moral thing to do. Shortly before Gypsy was born, though, they split up because Rod felt, in his own words, that he got married for the wrong reasons, but he didn't leave in, like, a douchey way. Like, he was still super supportive and kind.
That means they were married for less than 9 months.
Yeah.
Man said, I'm gonna dip.
Never mind. Okay, so at this point, Gypsy and Dee Dee lived on their own, but it wasn't, like, on their own. Gypsy lived with her, or Dee Dee lived with her family. And interesting fact, like, Dee Dee actually, like, got arrested for fraud and shoplifting when Gypsy was a baby. And so Gypsy ended up living with Dee Dee's mom for a while. So yeah. When Dee Dee came back, Dee Dee's mom was, like, really, like, possessive of Gypsy. And this, like, really frustrated Dee Dee. And she, in turn, became really controlling over Gypsy. And so they ended up leaving, getting out on their own. And this was the start of all the controlling aspects of Dee Dee. So when Gypsy was a baby, Dee Dee insisted that Gypsy would wear a heart monitor because she had what she thought was sleep apnea. And she would supposedly stop breathing in her sleep and would have seizures. But this is just the start of all the alleged illnesses and ailments that Dee Dee believed Gypsy had.
This is when the bitch turned bonkers.
Oh, Bitches be bonkers. Let me tell you, bitches be bonkers. So get this. By the time Gypsy was 8, Dee Dee claimed that Gypsy had the following: leukemia, muscular dystrophy. She was in a wheelchair because she could no longer walk, supposedly. She had hearing and visual impairments, which led to several surgeries. She had asthma. She had epilepsy. And later she even said that she required a feeding tube. Dee Dee believed that she was choking on her spit, and that in turn would make her choke on her food.
How do you choke on your own spit?
I don't know. So as a result, she had Gypsy get her salivary glands removed and a feeding tube placed in. Isn't that psychotic? Like, a bitch chokes on her food one time.
Y'all don't know how to act.
And she cannot swallow no more.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
My God. 1,000%. So, this is, like, there's even more crazy things. But, like, one of the weirder things that I thought was Dee Dee even went as far as to alter the date of birth on Gypsy's birth certificate to make her seem younger than she was. So, she was born in 1991, but she would alter it. I don't know how.
With the government?
I don't know
make
how
it
you,
make sense.
I don't know how you legally get around that. But she would make it be like 1991 and then she changed it to 1993, 94, 95. So
I just
so
feel
forth.
Like Dee Dee was definitely sleeping around with government men, doctors, and everyone who could do anything for
like
her.
How was she able to get away with this?
I mean, teach its own, but like...
Sex. That is not confirmed, ladies and gentlemen. That is just a theory.
We hereby do not condone sex for... What is it called?
Legal exchanges.
Yeah, legal exchanges. Don't do that.
Okay, so another crazy thing that ended up happening to Gypsy was either due to the amounts of medication that she was placed on or from her missing salivary glands, her teeth rotted out of her head and she had to have them all pulled out.
I didn't know you could surgically remove your... Or I didn't know, like, that was allowed to, like, surgically remove your salivary glands. I thought they were required.
You thought they were essential for life?
Well, yeah, saliva does a lot.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like if you don't have salivary glands, you'll die. You know?
I mean, I just thought, like, it
a
only,
lot of people
it only,
have feeding tubes. Like, that's
like,
a thing.
It only made sense to, like, have salivary glands. It's not like a pancreas where you can get a chunk of it taken out. Like, or, like, it doesn't work.
I mean, well, it happened, so I don't, okay, I don't know.
That's my commentary.
But yeah, anyways. Like, she had all of her teeth pulled out, you know? Like, I can't imagine the physical pain this poor child was in.
All because... 20-something of your teeth.
I think there's more than that. I think you have 32 teeth.
I think you have 26.
Someone fact-check me on that. I don't know. But still, like, we're laughing.
It is
sorry.
It's currently 2 a.m., so.
Okay, so yeah. So she had all of her teeth pulled out. So this, all of these problems combined. So the epilepsy, the asthma, the muscular dystrophy, alleged
this
leukemia.
To
right?
go to a therapist.
Alleged,
already.
Yes.
The trauma.
Exactly. So on the note of going to a therapist, do you know what Munchausen by proxy disorder is?
Yes.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Munchausen by proxy disorder is, it is when a caregiver fakes or creates or causes illness on someone under their care, usually in order to make them feel needed or feel like they're a hero. Have you seen The Sixth Sense?
Yes, and yeah. Also in Mama, the movie
yeah.
Mama.
In The Sixth Sense, the scene where the little boy finds the tape and the people at the funeral watch and the mom is, like,
poisoning
the girl.
Yeah,
that's Munchausen by proxy. So it is believed by many doctors that Dee Dee actually had Munchausen by proxy disorder, and that was why Gypsy had so many alleged illnesses was
without
because
a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, was because Dee Dee had Munchausen by proxy and wanted to feel like she was needed or like she was a hero.
And, like, it only makes sense... Because, like, some doctors weren't able to prove.
Yeah, so that leads me to, like, my next point was, like, Dee Dee was really sneaky with doctors about Gypsy's problems. Like, her whole act was, like, you know, the single mother who was, you know, of poor means, and she had a really sick kid. Like, it worked really well in her favor. So she would go to a ton of doctors, and whenever, like, they would want to do tests, and then they showed up inconclusive or negative for Dee Dee's claims, she would simply just say fuck it and find another doctor who would operate like she wanted.
Yeah, she also had nurse background, so, like, she knew the terms, and she knew how to work the
she
system.
Did, so she was incredibly manipulative, and people, you know, like, how are you gonna tell a mom that has, like, some level of nurse training that, like, Yeah, you're right. Your kids don't have that.
Literally emotionally damaged.
Yeah, like, how are you going to look at her and be like, yeah, no, I don't think so. So
your kid's perfectly fine.
Yeah, so, like, it makes sense, but, like, it also doesn't. You know, like, it kind of baffles me that doctors were just like, oh, yeah, you're right. Shit.
For sure. Let me just hand you my license.
Yeah, leukemia? Yeah, for sure. Muscular dystrophy? Sure. You know,
I feel like those are all really physical things. I feel like you're really able to tell. Like, that sounds terrible, but, like, I feel like you're able to, like, call it out. Be like, that's bullshit. Yeah, this bitch does not have leukemia.
I think you're absolutely right. Or, like, this whole thing with, like, removing her salivary glands. Like, you ain't gonna check that shit first?
they're just letting anybody in here at this point.
They were just like, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll remove those in a jiffy. You got it.
Well, you says go.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's not like a fucking restaurant with a menu where you're just like, I'll have my salivary glands removed, please. And they're like, coming right up.
Like, my pleasure.
My pleasure. Oh, my God. Sorry. If we're laughing, it's just, you know, this whole thing is psychotic. It's insane.
That's what we do when we're nervous. So we laugh.
True. So she was even able, like we said, to convince doctors to go as far as complete surgeries on Gypsy, which is just insane. Like, she had a ton of, like auditory surgeries and visual surgeries, so she had really thick glasses, and again, with the whole salivary gland thing, I can't fucking get over that. Okay, so in 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana, and Dee Dee and Gypsy were actually affected, like, none of this Munchausen bullshit, like, they were actually affected, and they ended up moving into a shelter in Covington, Louisiana, where Dee Dee claimed that all of Gypsy's medical records were destroyed, which is incredibly convenient, if you ask me.
Literally the perfect storm.
Yeah. Literally. So this is where their story gets picked up by the media and gets the attention of the locals and a ton of charities. So in 2008, thanks to Habitat for Humanity, the charity, they were relocated to Springfield, Missouri, where the charity had built them a new home complete with a wheelchair ramp for Gypsy, which was just a show-stopping for the national media at a time of crisis. To see something like this where, you know,
such big hearts.
Exactly, they're changing lives and making sure that people who were affected were taken care of, especially someone like Gypsy. Like, it was just very heart-touching, and people loved it.
I can't get over the name Gypsy. Or Dee Dee.
Cajun. For real.
Louisiana.
For real. Okay, so what I'm gonna make sure everyone knows, it should be made known that, yes, Gypsy was completely naive. You know, like, she's very isolated with her mom. This is all she knows. When your mom tells you you have leukemia, when your mom tells you you have muscular dystrophy, when your mom tells you you, like, any of the things, like, you need to get your salivary glands removed, like, exactly. She went with it.
Yeah.
She didn't know any different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at such a young age, like, your mom is your god. Like, especially that being her only parent, like, who is she to say, let me see the medical records?
When you're five.
Like, 5-year-old, like.
No, exactly.
Let
me see the bill. Yeah. Exactly. No, so she went with whatever her mother said, but it should be made known that she definitely knew she could walk, and she would later learn that she could eat and didn't even need a feeding tube at all.
Yeah.
So, people look at Gypsy and think, oh, she was going with, like, the manipulation of her mom and all this stuff, manipulating the media, but I don't think that's completely true at all. I think she was, like, that was all she knew.
Yeah, she didn't know it was manipulation at the time.
No, that was just...
Like, that's her normal.
That's just what you did. Yeah, like, you could walk around at home, and then you got in a wheelchair when you went out in public, and that was just what you did. She didn't think it was wrong. Yeah. Her mom didn't tell her it was wrong.
If you don't know any different, like, if you only know what you live, like, who is to say, like...
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think everyone should know that she did know.
Let the record know.
Let the record show, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen of the court, that she knew she could walk, and she knew that she didn't need a feeding tube and all that stuff. So Gypsy had a strangely high voice, like that of a child, and communicated and gave off, like, childlike vibes. And again, this is due to her mom keeping her in complete isolation.
And her having absolutely no social skills.
Yes, and then telling her, you know, I think it goes along with, like, the changing of the birth date and all that stuff, telling her that she's this years old, and she would even tell people, like, on interviews that, like, she has the mind of a 7-year-old, and, like, that's nothing you can change, and all that stuff, like, she just couldn't go beyond the mind of a 7-year-old, according to her mom. So whenever she went out in press or in public, Gypsy usually wore wigs or like a hat or something, and then she would wear like beautiful doll-like princess dresses, which immediately won the heart of the public. It was kind of like, oh, she is such a princess. Like, go, Gypsy. Like, yes, we're here for you. Yes, queen. That kind of thing. And they received a lot of free shit. Like, they got a car that was accessible for Gypsy. They got trips to Disney World, like, a lot of them. Like, not just, like, one, like, a lot of them. Gypsy loved Disney, and thanks to organizations like Make-A-Wish, they got backstage passes to concerts and stuff like that. And also,
shout out to Hurricane Katrina for mysteriously removing the records. Oh,
exactly.
The
medical records. Because who's going to check it at that point, you know?
Like, who's Make-A-Wish to be like, let me see the records. We're covering
them.
Fucking
Let's lying, do let more me tests. See. You're fucking yeah. lying. Let me see. So they soon won the hearts of their neighbors, and Gypsy became friends with one girl who she said was like a big sister to her. Her name was Aaliyah Woodmansey. And as you can imagine, Gypsy was, like, really pretty, you know, intensely sheltered. But she began to explore the immense, deep, wide world of the web. And
wide world of the web. It's a world wide web.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Wordplay.
It was a laptop that she and Dee Dee shared. And she began to gain a lot of, interest in different things, but the main thing she gained interest in is boys. And as you can imagine, it's 2008, right? She's 17 at this point. She's been incredibly sheltered. Hormones are raging. She's got a sex drive she doesn't know what to do with. Like, you can imagine.
She didn't know anything about either.
No.
She's the typical sheltered Christian family girl.
Homeschooled girl, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, the homeschool girl's being different. Oh.
So, like, she's gaining interest in a lot of things, but the number one thing that she's gaining interest in is boys. She wants a boyfriend. She wants to feel that love and affection.
And I'm sure she wants to feel normal.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, exactly it. That's another thing that she craved.
Yeah, with literally everything going on in her life, I'm sure she just wanted some sort of intimacy.
Mm-hmm. That was outside of her mother.
Yeah. And, like, especially in Disney movies, like, her being a fan of princesses, like, that's literally what all Disney
movies are
about.
She wanted a Prince Charming. Yeah. Exactly. So,
to rescue you.
Exactly. No, for real. To rescue her from her tower. Exactly. So,
bitch is Rapunzel in this bitch.
Yeah, no. When did Tangled come out? 2010? She would have seen Tangled. Yeah. She would have seen Tangled and resonated with that heavy. I bet resonate heavy with that shit.
That should be hitting different.
That should be hitting different. Okay, so she even went as far with this interest in boys to create fake Facebook profiles to talk to them and hide it from her mom.
The OG catfish.
Oh, well. So she began to talk about these taboo adventures with Woodmansey, Aaliyah. And she was, Aaliyah was the only person who knew about these men, including one in particular named Nicholas Godejohn, and her inside information would be crucial to police later. But Gypsy would go and pretend to go to sleep at night, and she would sneak the laptop into her room and talk to men online. And on one of these online escapades in 2012, Gypsy ended up signing up for Christian Mingle, holla, and connected with a man named Nicholas Godejohn. Now, he's a key player in this case,
no,
to
like,
say the least.
The most.
Like, you gotta know about this man. So Nicholas Godejohn lived in Big Bend, Wisconsin. It should be known that he suffered from, many mental illnesses, including, he was on the autism spectrum. He expressed later to Gypsy that he had multiple personalities, but this can't be confirmed by experts.
Yeah, it's just a claim.
It is just a claim. It's not true. It's not confirmed. It's not backed up by anything. So their relationship started off pure and simple. Again, it's an online, long-distance relationship. But this, regardless, gave Gypsy the outside attention and love that she was craving.
She's 20 at this point, too.
Yeah, so this is, well, 2012.
Okay, so she's 21. Yes, she's 21, because she's one
yes.
of
21. But she believes she's much younger than that.
Yeah,
Let's be clear on that. She believes she's much younger than that. So it started off pure and simple. It gave her the outside attention from her mom and the love and all of that, like, Prince Charming that she was, perfect, was craving. Yeah. Yes. But soon, things escalated, and the two started sexting. Yay. Yes! All right. So, in this quote-unquote phase of the relationship, Gotojeon expressed his deep interest in, get this, wait for it, BDSM. Yes. I can only imagine the fucking culture shock to this poor innocent girl.
Oh, literally. Like thinking about, like, BDSM, and like, well, I mean, our freshman and sophomore year, whatever, when the test came out and everyone was taking it, like, the questions, me being a sheltered little Christian girl,
like, no, like, even that was taboo. Like, no, even that was risky.
No, I mean, it's still,
and like, we went to public school. Yeah.
Like, we went to Bradshaw.
Like, no, imagine, yeah, just imagine, well, being
even sexting.
Yeah, no, time. Like, yeah, no, like, even for, in that time, yes, but for her. Like, for her going from Disney movies, from being in love with Rapunzel, to,
and having, like, the mindset sexting of a seven-year-old.
Yes.
Dressing up like a princess to being stripped down naked.
Yeah, no, a girl, she had to grow up quick. Like, she had to, like, I can't, yeah, imagine, like, the,
well,
it, like, getting deep about it, like, imagining, like, the deep desire to be loved by someone and accepted by someone that you grow up and change yourself that quickly is insane to me. Like, you, oh, you're, yeah, you're right. Like, you literally went, she literally went from Disney movies and dresses and all the fun things to porn, sexting, taking off her clothes, and yeah, that's a huge jump. That, again, a culture shock. Well, like,
I mean, like, yeah, like, and especially just like,
it's a lot of commitment,
and I'm sure she did not know that much about sex, like, I mean, thinking about it, and like, I mean, I'm sure all the information she had was probably from her neighbor.
Yeah, well, and I can't imagine that Dee Dee ever thought that she would get to that point. Like, I think that Dee Dee thought it was her and Gypsy forever.
Oh, yeah, or
against
that
the world. Like, she wasn't gonna let her go. She was gonna be by herself.
From her quote-unquote illnesses.
Yeah.
Before she ever needed, exactly, to find out about that.
Exactly. I think that's 100% true. So again, BDSM, a huge jump for this girl. So Gypsy did some research, dear God, and obliged. She went with it. She created different personalities to match Gotojeon's different personalities. And
imagine creating a whole personality for a man you met on Christian Mingle. Like,
what? Oh my God. Yeah, I know. It's insane. But these personalities came with wigs and outfits to go with each. She had one named Candy, which was like the sweet, innocent one with like a rainbow wig. If you look at pictures of her and her alter egos, there's some online. I swear to God, if you look up like literally Gypsy Rose Candy, you will find some. It's not explicit, but it's like a, you know how moms in their 30s on, yeah, Facebook take pictures from like, yeah, overhead. It's, yeah, kind of like that. And I mean, she's like popping out in like a corset, oh, and like a rainbow wig.
So literally just think of cosplay. That's it. Yeah. That's all you have to do. Well, yeah.
And then, so she had Candy, and then she had her dark side, which was named Ruby.
That's
so sexy. So Gotojeon expressed to her that he had an evil side that he called Victor. And Victor and Ruby were ones, their alter egos, I guess, that matched one another. So the two's dark sides would interact with one another in violent aspects, which is like kind of creepy and kind of weird and gross. But like, hey, I'm not going to kink shame. You know?
What kind of kinky fucker?
What kind of kinky fuckery? I'm not going kink shame. It's okay.
To each their own.
Okay, so one afternoon in 2015, Dee Dee and Gypsy had planned on going to go see the live action version of Cinderella.
Perfect.
I know. And Gypsy was really excited about this, so she was talking to Nicholas about it, and the two came up with an idea that they were going to get a ticket for Nick to come see it as well. He was going to come down from Big Bend, Wisconsin, which it's like a Greyhound bus drive away, so it's a pretty long drive. So he was going to get a ticket on a Greyhound bus, come to the theater in Springfield, and go surprise Dee Dee. So this was the plan. He was going to come down, surprise Dee Dee, meet her, and then hopefully Dee Dee would approve, the two could be together and live happily ever after. So they follow through with these plans, actually. Like, it works out for them. He comes down, he goes to the theater, Gypsy sees him. She's all dressed up, but Dee Dee is none the wiser. She don't know who the fuck this man is, right? So...
I hope it don't sound stupid. I really don't. I don't know. I have no, idea who this man is.
So, going against what they wanted, the complete opposite, Dee Dee expresses complete dislike towards Go To John. And when they are absolutely devastated, get this, the two just sneak into the theater bathroom and straight up have sex right there. Like, they just bang it out in the bathroom.
She said, we're not wasting any more time. She's like, I am, like, 24.
They literally fuck in the bathroom.
Imagine losing your virginity at 24.
In a theater bathroom. I mean,
of course.
Losing your virginity. In a movie theater bathroom. I can't. That's so disgusting. Like, okay, the amount of disease.
Tell them about his history with bathrooms.
A little tidbit.
He had a kink, or Victor had a kink.
A little tidbit. This will help you kind of get an idea.
Of who this man is.
Nicholas was actually arrested, I can't remember what year, but he was arrested for, lewd behavior, meaning he was sitting in a McDonald's, jacking off to porn for 9 hours.
A McDonald's bathroom.
I can't remember if it was a bathroom or public.
Oh, word. Yeah. Listen, while these chicken nuggets got me horny.
Well, he was just in a McDonald's masturbating, and they called the police, and he was arrested for that.
9 hours.
So, if you thought man's was weird, here's a little bit more to affirm that conclusion.
I
mean, for you.
I don't know, some of y'all may be doing that, but, like...
To each their own.
Literally.
Okay, so anyways, Nick goes back to Wisconsin, and the two are keeping in touch like they always do, talking about how much they want to be together, how that plan just failed horribly, and they don't know when they're going to see each other next. They really want to be together, but they don't know how. So the two come to the drastic conclusion that the only way they can be together is if Dee Dee is out of the picture.
So,
like, dead.
Annihilation.
Like, dead out of the picture. Because Gypsy's like, I can't, like, run away. She'll come and find me. Like, she won't rest until she finds me, kind of thing.
So, they think, I mean, Dee Dee is the psycho in the situation, but, like, they think she is the ultimate enemy. Like, they're like, nah, we not thinking crazy. This bitch thinking crazy.
Yeah, no, like, for real. Like, and honestly, like, they're right. Like, Dee Dee would never let her just leave like and, that. Especially with, first of all, someone like, okay, in any way, I feel like Dee Dee would never let her leave with anyone, let alone someone she met on the internet, let alone has lewd behavior charges in a McDonald's, let alone is the way that he is with multiple personalities. Yeah. And, like, it's just, the whole thing is a little weird. So I can't imagine her letting her go with anyone, let alone Nick, you know?
Well, and the fact that, like, neither one of them have ever been wanted, quote-unquote, in their life, like, nothing is gonna stop this pure, like,
yeah, no,
lust.
Like, this is, I mean,
it's romance
definitely,
or whatever, but it's definitely sex-driven, and, like...
Of course, like, it's passion, and neither of them knows any different. Like, yeah. Like, this is, it's hard, and it's fast, and passionate, but they don't, you know, love for them, they've never experienced anything else, and I feel like maybe Gypsy was like, no one else will ever... give me this chance. No one else will get me out of here. No one else will love me the same way. Well, I mean, when you jack off into McDonald's for 9 hours, like,
you
and you find someone who loves you, like you're going to fall hard and you're going to be passionate. You're going to do whatever you want to do and whatever you have to do to be with them.
And
yeah, no.
You find someone willing to have sex with you in a theater bathroom with their mom in the audience. Exactly. Like, what?
Okay, so the only way they're going to be together is if Dee Dee is dead. So they come up with this plan, and it's like, reading the messages, like, it kind of, honestly, like, it seems a little sexual to me. Like, I know that sounds weird, but, like, let's be honest, are we surprised? Like, they're calling each other darling and hun the entire time, and it's seeming like, Victor and Ruby are the ones that are communicating, not Gypsy and Nick. You know, it's really sexual and all this stuff, and it's, you know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So... Go To John talks about how his alter ego is going to be the one doing it. Nick isn't going to be doing it. Victor is. It just seems off, and, like, neither of them is really thinking it through. Like we said, it's pure passion. Like, they don't understand the catastrophic events that are going to follow if they follow through with it.
Yeah.
They're just thinking about in the moment what they want to do, and this is the only way to them how they're going to be together.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a rundown of the plan. Here's their murder plan. So Gypsy has bought a knife. It is a, I believe it is a fishing knife. It is a fish gutting knife. And she has a knife, gloves, and duct tape set out in the kitchen. Nick is going to come down again from Big Bend on a Greyhound, and she tells him something to this effect: open the door slightly, be quiet, make sure it doesn't slam, because they had a really creaky, sliding door. And so then he's going to come into Dee Dee's room. He's going to kill her. The two are going to escape, go to Big Bend, stay at Nick's place with his parents, and then take off for their happily ever after.
Which now, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, it's foolproof, honestly. Like, how honestly, could this go wrong?
I mean, how could Dee Dee see the fishing knife, the duct tape, and the gloves on the kitchen counter?
Oh, I don't. You know? It's a foolproof plan.
These are I want to be them. It
can't go wrong.
Okay.
So, now that the plan is... it's solid. It's set in stone. Nick suggests that because his alter ego is taking over, he'll do all that. Like, by all means, he'll do that. But he's going to do it his way. Victor's way. Which means he wants to rape Dee Dee, and he expresses that to Gypsy. And Gypsy's And she goes, no, like, rape me instead. What? And Nick is like, ha, okay, that works. So, I know, like, that's such a twisted part of the story. But he's like, if Victor's taking over, then he's gonna rape somebody. And she's like, please don't rape my mother. Like, rape me instead. And he's like, okay, that sounds good. Like, that works.
So, like, this is when she wants to think logically.
Mm.
Like, I feel like this would be kind of a warning sign even for a crazy person.
I know,
person.
Like, maybe a red flag. Like, I don't know. Anyways, like, maybe you shouldn't fucking go through with this, like, but it's fine.
Victor could do this anytime, bitch. You marry Victor. Like,
you're marrying Nick and Victor, bitch.
Yeah, like you get
take
the best
it into consideration.
Of, or not the best of both worlds. The worst.
The
of
worst
both
of both worlds. Yeah, for real. Okay, so Dee Dee and Gypsy have kind of a regular evening. I mean, like, they have an argument, but it mulls over. They paint their nails. And then Dee Dee decides to go to bed because she's tired. And she's trying to make sure that Gypsy will be okay. And Gypsy has said in interviews that she replied with, "Don't worry, I'll be a good girl." Which is, I'm going to say it again.
Sexual.
"Don't worry, I'll be a good girl." It, like, it's really chilling, but also, like, ew. Like,
sexual.
Again, no, I agree. But, like, at this point, she's 24. But she still thinks she's, like, a late teenager, you know, like, I guess that could be a, and, you know, she's always told her mom she'll be a good girl kind of thing, like, I don't know,
it feels one of their little conversations,
it feels like, chilling to me, like, yeah. The fact that she says, "Don't worry, I'll be a good girl," and then she, like, murders her, like, it's a little chilling.
I feel like that would have set me off, like, me being Dee Dee, I would have been like, hey, I'm psycho, but, like, you crazy,
yeah,
bitch.
Like, for real,
a psycho only knows a psycho,
yeah, I know, takes one to know one.
Yeah, literally.
So, Dee Dee goes to bed, and Gypsy texts Nick and gives him the all clear to come in. So, he sneaks in, and he does everything that Gypsy says with the door and everything. So, she runs to the bathroom and covers her ears. She gets down in, like, the fetal position, and she's covering her ears. So, Nick goes into Dee Dee's room, and Gypsy describes hearing a struggle, and then hearing screaming, and then hearing Dee Dee belting and screaming out her name to come help her. And of course she's sitting there crying and not doing anything. Dee Dee was stabbed several times in the back. And when the deed was done, Go to John and Gypsy went into Gypsy's room and acted out the rape that Go to John wanted to have. She said in an interview that they were having sex, and she ended up telling him to stop because she was, you know, obviously kind of freaked out that, like, she actually just killed her mom. So she was like, technically it was kind of rape, but, like, it didn't start that way kind of thing. Anyways, irrelevant. They had sex.
Yeah. No means no.
Yeah, so. For real. So then they just pack up like nothing happened and they head for a hotel.
The honeymoon stage.
Oh, gross. Yucky. So there's footage of the two of them sitting in bed naked in a hotel, like, mere hours after the
they
whole murder.
Cameras in hotels?
Yeah, they brought, like, a video recorder.
Oh, I was like, bitch, what?
Like, a video camera.
How you gonna tell me they got video cameras in a hotel?
They do.
In hotel rooms?
Bitch, do not trust your government. I do not.
The government. The birds work for the bourgeoisie.
So yeah, so they're just sitting, there's video footage of them from a video camera that she brought to, you know, record their life together for home videos, I fucking guess. And they're just laughing and cutting it up naked. Like, they didn't just do the most godforsaken thing ever to Gypsy's own fucking mother. So then the next day they hop on a Greyhound and head to Big Bend, Wisconsin. And when they get to Nick's house, you know, Gypsy's mom is like, or not Gypsy.
I thought Gypsy's dead. Well,
Nick's mom is like, so tell me about your home life, asking about her mom. And the story that Gypsy tells Nick's parents is that her mom kicked her out and she'd been living in shelters until Nick came and rescued her like a knight in shining armor. So the next step for them was to cover their tracks. So once they had killed Dee Dee, while they're still in the house, they placed the knife in a package envelope, like one of the yellow ones, and mailed it to Nick's own house, which is, like, super incriminating and a really dumb move.
And ballsy. Not to mention killing somebody, some bitch's mom.
Well, they didn't. The thing is like, crime scene photos, they didn't even clean that shit off. Like, it had Dee Dee's blood on it, and they just shoved that shit in an envelope and mailed it to Nick's house with, like, her address and his address on it with his name, her name. Like, it's super incriminating, and they didn't think it through. It was a really stupid move, and they just mailed it to Nick's house. So.
Word.
Yeah, so, like, they expressed it, and, like, the next day it comes in, and they've got, like, the package with the knife in it. And then the two decided to send out a Facebook post on Dee Dee and Gypsy's shared Facebook account. And, it was called, it was, like, D-Gyp Blanchard, was the name.
The handle.
Yeah, and, the post said, "That bitch is dead," with, like, an exclamation point. And this raised a lot of concern amongst, like, their Facebook friends and their community.
I'm sure their family.
Yeah, like they're freaking out. So some people are like, "Sounds like you just watched a movie." Like, that's one of the comments under it. And others like, "Okay, what is going on?" And the other's like, "Bro, are you okay?" Like, people are like, it's mixed kind of answers and
it's like, oh, and responses. Bitch has to be joking. Nobody's gonna tweet like, oh, that bitch dead, when they actually exactly dead.
So then they follow up that dinger of a post with I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her innocent daughter, her scream was so fucking loud, lol. Which is like absolutely chaotic, and like the lol at the end is like,
it's literally like sending a long ass paragraph and then saying LOL.
LOL at the end. Like
it was to like lighten up the mood. Like,
yeah, LOL. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like the LOL at the end is like,
that is iconic. That is the original LOL. Iconic.
It's very strange. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're like, all right, we fucking covered our tracks. We're safe. No one will ever know. We can go live our happily ever after kind of thing. But like, they're not safe. Like, they're not. Like, they didn't cover their tracks. So friends and neighbors call police to do a welfare check because they obviously have reason to believe that something is very wrong. Mm-hmm. So the cops go into the house and they end up finding Dee Dee's lifeless body in her bed. The next step was to investigate all the Facebook posts because, you know, once they're asking neighbors questions, they're like, oh yeah, and then there's the Facebook post. So they're asking to see it and all this stuff. So they send the link to people in the police force who work with tracing and technology. And you can see, like, where a text was sent or, like, a post was sent from. Like, they ping it off of towers and stuff that. Or even if you have something like Facebook, there's, like, GPS technology that shows where you sent that from. Mm-hmm. And because they're dumbasses, they didn't turn off any of the locating devices from the technology that they sent those posts from. So because of this, the police find the exact location of Nicholas's home and literally send SWAT and police and the whole nine yards to the Go to John residence, and they arrested them. So the two, this is the trial part. So the two ended up, like, they separate them in interview rooms, right? So they have two different rooms. So the footage is actually really funny because on one hand you have Gypsy and on the other you have Nick, and like Nick is like totally chill, like nothing. Gypsy is obviously freaking out, like she's rocking back and forth, and a cop comes in and he's like, so your mom's dead? And she's like, wait, my mom's what? And they're like, your mom's dead. Like, they're like, bitch, we know you know. And she's like, she starts to cry and all this stuff. And he's like, we know you had something to do with it. And she was like, no, I didn't. No. He's like, Gypsy, did you kill your mother? No. No. Just shaking her head back and forth. Like, like, it's really funny. And then you watched, like, Nick. And they're like, so, did you kill Dee Dee? And he's like, technically, yes.
Bitch, what do you mean, technically?
And they're like, we'll walk us through it. And he just gives them everything. And they're like, why did you do it? And he ends up saying, like, I did it for Gypsy to protect her, to rescue her, that kind of thing. And he ends up telling them, like, yeah, but he is so transparent and just G straight with the cops. Like, it is not even funny. And
he's Gypsy, like, I ain't even gonna make you put me on trial. No, bitch, I'll give it to you right here. Yeah, now.
He confesses right there. Like, he confesses and gives them everything, a written statement, signs all the paperwork, everything, gives them a confession right there, and implicates Gypsy as well. And she is still sitting in an interview room completely denying it. And so they end up saying, like, we know, like, you're involved. So she goes on trial and all this stuff. And the conviction, they go on trial separately. Obviously, you know, they break up, and she ends up saying, like, you know, I probably didn't really love him. I didn't know what love was. Like, I was just blind.
Yeah, let's say if communication problems between them and the murder weren't going to break them up, it was definitely going to be because of communication problems in general.
Yeah. So the convictions ended up being, Gypsy got, she was convicted of second-degree murder, and she is actually eligible for parole in 2024.
This bitch still alive?
Yeah.
This was dead.
No. She is in prison. She's actually engaged. Do you know that? To a guy named Ken. She's been in prison the whole time. She's engaged to a guy named Ken.
Did she meet him on Christian Mingle?
Oh, my God.
Imagine them coming out with another case of the, like, Ken and her murdering Go To John.
Oh, my God. Well, Go To John, he is serving life in prison under a conviction of first-degree murder. So he's not eligible for parole. He's in life in prison. He didn't get the death penalty. He's not eligible for that. But he is. Yeah. Okay, so that is the case. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I'm mentally exhausted from that.
I know. It's a lot.
I mean, what really is there to think about?
Well, I mean, so this becomes, like, the question. Do you think she was in any way right for killing her mom?
I'm gonna say yeah. I mean, not in the form that she did it.
I mean, like, we're not saying we condone murder, no, ladies, like, and gentlemen.
Like, don't think of me as a psychopath.
Disclaimer.
Just, like, saying, like, I mean, I can't imagine the psychological damage of your mom literally doing all of these things to keep you from living, to, like, steal freedom and the opportunity to live a normal life. Like, she basically took her life away without her having a choice, which,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think death was necessarily the right answer, and especially the way that they did it and how violent it was, but, like, I mean, if you have to...
I think I agree. Like, you look at it and you do see some of the reasoning behind it.
Some of the logic. Like, yeah. Honestly, it kind of makes
sense. She wouldn't have ever escaped. Like, again, we don't condone murder. Like, I look at it and...
It just resonates
with
me.
Yeah, like, if I had been in her shoes, if there was no other way, like, again, I don't think that what she did was right. I think, you know, it might have crossed my mind.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, and, I mean...
If you start to learn things that your mom has been lying to you and keeping you captive and literally poisoning you for years... And she... Another thing I forgot to mention, she had ran away before with a man she had met at a convention and just walked away... And her mom found her, and, like, this wasn't, like, essential to the case, I guess, but, she found her, found out where she was, and, like, chained her to her bed for, like, 2 days.
I mean, yeah, like, no offense, Lita, but, like, if you haven't hated your mom, or, like, not wanted to kill your mom, but if you haven't hated your mom at one point or another, like, you guys don't really have the, like, mother-daughter relationship, but, like, just, like... Honestly, in the sense of, like, mental illnesses being, like,
hereditary, like, being passed down. Like, I'm sure this chick wouldn't have been mentally stable even if hadn't gone through all this. But the trauma, and especially, like, the emotions that come with trauma.
Yeah.
And, like, not going to therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm...
No, like, having to mentally process that without any level of help.
I'm sure, like, me thinking, like, logically, like, oh, there's other options. But, like, for her...
She was by herself. I mean, that was her only option. Think about it.
She only knew one option her whole life. Like, not necessarily just focusing on that situation, but she only knew one option, and it was what her mom gave her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was a bitch of one option. Not many options, one option for her whole life.
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, it makes sense to me. Like, I'm not going to say it's justifiable or whatever, but I'm saying it does make not perfect sense.
Her mentality of wanting to escape and not knowing how else to do it is... understandable.
It's valid. There's complete validity.
There's complete validity in that. Yes.
Literally. I also think, like, I mean, I don't know, with Godejohn's mental, all of that stuff going on, I feel like man should be getting therapy in jail, and I hope he is. Like,
well, you know, best of luck to Gypsy and Ken. We don't know his last name. That is as far as the media has let out. His name is Ken. That's all we know. So, best of luck to Gypsy and Ken. Congratulations in 2024, I guess.
That's 4 years.
Oh, it's not too long, no. Compared to, I think she got a 10-year sentence.
We'll be graduating college.
So, Jesus.
Wow.
So, so, yeah, congratulations in advance to them. So, yeah, that concludes, ladies and gentlemen, our first episode of The Crime Light. So, thank you for listening.
Hope y'all enjoyed.
Yes, and keep shining.